This recording, South Africa 52, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comica Secure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a very new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt distressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some time to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a tot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. My goodness. Okay, to start with, I was born in Worcester. My mother has been a school teacher, languages, English and Afrikaans, exclusively for higher school. So all her life, all the life I've known my mother, she has taught either as a permanent teacher at a high school or a college. And later, as she was into her 80s, she taught privately in her apartment. And she was very good with them. I frequently sat with her and listened how she was doing it. And then she'd switch from talking to the student, just one student at a time. She'd switch from talking to the student and speak to me in Afrikaans and then expect the student to answer back and tell her what we've been talking about. She was one of 15 boys and girls. There had been 20, but some of them had died very early after birth. My mother's mother died at the age of 36, having had that many children. When my mother told me that the first time, I said, "What?" But whenever there was a family affair, and the family affair was at Tulbagh, either her eldest brother, who became the head of the family when my grandfather died, and his wife was a honey. That particular uncle of mine, my mother's eldest brother, he came to my mother one day. I was at high school, and he gave her a real preaching. He wanted her to understand that he didn't approve of the way she was bringing me up, allowing me to wear long trousers, you know, not jeans, long trousers. And he actually heard that I also was allowed to wear a pair of shorts in the hot weather. So if I speak Afrikaans, it's okay. My mother said to him, "Buddy, sy is my kind. Ek gee die toestemming dat sy 'n lang broek mag dra. Ek gee die toestemming dat sy 'n kort broek mag dra wanneer ons strand toe gaan, nie in die dorp nie." En Boetie het verder niks te sê oor hoe ek my kind groot maak. I remember asking my mother one day, "But if there were so many children and my oma was permanently pregnant, who did the cooking and who looked after the children and the family?" So my mother said, "Well, you know, the eldest daughters in the family do." And so she named four of her elder sisters. None of them were married. I said, why not? She said, because they saw how hard married life could be and what pressures are put on the wife if there's a husband who wants more children. His mother, she kept a lot of the Scottish ways of expressing. She was very strict and very smartly dressed always, but traditional old-fashioned style with a sort of a lace necking here and a little bow. And now I remember she did beautiful crocheted work and what's the other thing? Tatting. It's called tatting. I used to watch her doing it. It's like a little plastic thing with white embroidery thread wound up. And I don't know how you started. It's almost like knitting. You make a start by knotting something and you hold it in one hand and then you put the shuttle through it and pull it through the other. It ends up being a long piece of lace.